Hey guys, I am so beyond excited as well as honored to be able to introduce our guest for today. So for Fit Chicks Chat, I am going to be interviewing Mindy Milroy. So sit back, get ready, because she has a lot of certifications behind her and awards. Mindy Milroy is the 2016 Empower Instructor of the Year, 2015 PFP Trainer of the Year, 2015 International Presenter of the Year, 2013 CamFit Pro Specialty Presenter of the Year, 2008 ECA OBOW Fitness Presenter of the Year, the 2004 CanFit Pro International Presenter of the Year, 1999 International Idea Fitness Instructor of the Year, a National and World Aerobics Champion, an AVIA sponsored athlete, and a 5-star presenter for Idea. Mindy is an advisor for Oxygen Magazine, an international presenter, author, motivational speaker, video personality, and CEC provider for both ACE and AFAA. Mindy is the creator and lead talent behind Gliding, the Gliding Discs exercise program. She is a master trainer and on the pro development team for Schwinn Cycling, Body Bar, and BOSU. Mindy is the creator of Tabata Bootcamp, that earned most impactful program of 2013, and owner of FitFlix Productions DVD production services. She has authored numerous articles and stars in over 400 instructional videos. Mindy is currently the host of Ovatrex Elite and 6 Minutes to Slim It infomercials. Mindy donates her time and talents regularly to numerous charities and non-for-profit organizations and is the mother of 3 boys, been married for 32 years, and lives in Santa Cruz, California. So welcome, Mindy.
Welcome to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast, where we talk all things fitness, nutrition, and wellness for women to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life inside and out. And now, your hosts, Laura Jackson and Amanda Quinn.
So welcome everyone to Fit Chicks Chat. I'm Amanda Quinn, and in today's podcast, I have a very special guest. I have Mindy Milroy. Oh my God, I told you I was going to say it wrong. I'm so sorry. So Mindy, I'm so honored to have you on our podcast today. I'm so excited to talk to you because I think that everything that you do stands for everything that we also believe in here at Fit Chicks. Like, you believe in like a holistic approach to fitness, to nutrition, to wellness. And I've been following your entire career, and I just love everything that you have done up until this date. So why don't you tell our listeners just a little bit more about you before we get into like some questions I have, because I'm going to focus this a little bit more around probably around Tabata training, because I know that that's like a big part of what you teach. But why don't you tell everyone a little bit more just about you, who you are, and sort of what it is that you have done and created throughout the years.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the Fit Chicks. And I have been in the fitness industry forever. I am a fitness fossil, actually. I've been teaching 2 instructors, and I launched my career, actually I was teaching and I was in the National Aerobic Championship back in 91. I won the world and the national, and then launched me into presenting because a lot of companies wanted to sponsor me with their products or their programs. And I initially started with the Spalding Sport Rope Company, and I developed programming for their company, and then went on from there, won the ID Instructor of the Year, won CanFit Pro 3 times.
Wow, congratulations.
Well, CanFit Pro, you can win over and over and over again. So it was
Yeah, we've actually been nominated as a top 3 fitness professionals for the past 2 years in a row for CanFit as well.
Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
And so I've won Empower, I've won Most Impactful Program in the United States, won Club Industry, and just really have just had a great time. Mm-hmm. And developed not only Tabata Bootcamp, which is my current program, but also husband Bruce launched One Day to Wellness this last year, and it is going gangbusters. We're all over the country because we thought that in the fitness industry, we are preaching a lot about fitness, but 80% of being well is what you eat and how you think and how much sleep you get and what your stress is. And so we wanted to really bring to the forefront this wellness component that is doable for all and really makes an impact on your longevity and your well-being, because fitness is only a small percentage. And exercise your way to good health.
It's, no, of course.
But you can't. You need more than just the exercise component.
Definitely. I agree with you 100%. And I mean, even with FitChicks, we have started, we actually have an online certification program that we teach people to become fitness instructors, but it's called the Fitness and Nutrition Expert. And it's an online certification that focuses around fitness, nutrition, wellness, and then we also have a business component. And we add that all in because I think, as you said, it has to be a holistic approach. And I think that there are so many professionals out there that are amazing at what they do, but they just have that one facet, and you need to have all of the facets. But the same thing goes if you're someone who is just starting out in your fitness journey or someone who is, you know, works out regularly. If you don't have all the pieces of the puzzle, you'll never actually achieve your optimal health.
Mm-hmm. Well, it used to be when I was teaching, yeah. We would do a squat and we would say, one M&M, arms, another meat. And it's not that way anymore. Now it is, you start your day with, this is a great start to your day if you're doing fitness or if you have clients or students that come to see you. And then at the end of that workout, you should say, now with this great start, you can do anything, but you have to make the choices that will then propel your wellness. And if your goal is to lose weight, we know that fitness is not a good weight loss tool anymore. We know that fitness, although we love it and it's fantastic, it'll make you hungry.
Yeah.
Very hungry. And for a good reason, because you're burning calories and you need to replenish what you burned. However, most people think that they burned a lot more than they did.
Oh my gosh.
They have something that's called the licensing effect. They did something good, so they're allowed to go do something very bad. My church is so very crowded on Sunday. But if you think about it, when people work out, they think, oh, you know what? I just did a great thing. I can go now to eat a latte and a scone and a fitness bar. And the problem is all of these bars and shakes and potions and pills that we've created for the fitness industry actually add additional calories when we're not burning them off. Mm-hmm. So our One Day to Wellness program is all about simple, you know, whole plant-based eating, all based on research and science and small steps for behavioral change. Because if you just give somebody a diet, they will never be able to follow it.
Right.
Because diets don't work, we know that. And I mean, this is why there's never been a Biggest Loser reunion. They don't stay thin.
Right.
And we're trying to help people with the long haul, you know, have sustained success, not just a quick weight loss and then gain the weight back again.
Right. And I mean, well, it's been proven too that when people do like those crash diets or anything like that, that they may see drastic results in the beginning, but oftentimes they gain back the weight plus excessive weight, extra weight, because it's almost like you've been so extreme doing this crash diet or this specific, you know, whatever kind of fad diet that you're doing, that once you go off of it, you kind of go gangbusters and get a little crazy and just start consuming everything because you've been like depriving yourself. And so it's very counterintuitive in those ways.
And you haven't learned the tools.
Yeah.
And also good, healthy, wonderful plant-based food tastes so good.
I know.
Taste buds have been hijacked. This is my husband talks all about in his lectures. They've been hijacked and there's a great book called The Pleasure Trap that talks all about we've created these fantasy foods that taste better than regular food, and our taste buds now don't want that regular food anymore, like the apple. They want Apple Jacks.
Right.
So we have to now recondition our taste buds and allow them to heal so that they want the really healthy foods. Like my husband and I, we're whole food plant-based eaters. We also don't eat any oil based on all the science and the research from thought leaders and nutritional experts. And what they will say is that you stay on this for 4 weeks, you don't want to go back. You can't go back. Everything tastes too salty or too much fat, sugar. But it's all about that behavior shift and the small steps that people go through. If they don't go through that, then they are going to fail.
Right. And I mean, one of the things that I love what you just said is it's all about the small steps as well, because one of the things that I see oftentimes as a fitness professional is people wanting to do things extreme from the very beginning. And so it's like they make a decision that they want to change, which is fantastic, but then they want to go from 0 to 100. You know, right away, they want to just dive in and be like, okay, I'm just going to do everything. I'm going to start eating this plant-based, diet, and I'm going to start working out 2 hours a day. And they have all these aspirations. They create like this plan, but because it is so intense, it's just not something that is manageable in the long term because it's not their lifestyle, right? And so I think what you were saying is, you know, by doing it step by step and baby steps. That's how I encourage all of our people to start any kind of program, is to take the baby steps necessary to implement a habit, create that habit, and then from there build on that habit to the next habit. So that it is something now that becomes your life, as opposed to it becoming just like this everything, and you bombard yourself and then you kind of feel overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. And when we created workouts, I mean, that really is, when you think about that term, workout, I have to go out of my way out. So we created work-ins, and that started with Tabata Bootcamp. And Tabata Bootcamp, you know, Tabata is all about 20 seconds on 2 seconds.
Right. Love Tabata.
It's beautiful, and if you do it right, but you also can do it like hybrids, like a lot of people do now, and that's fine too. But if you really want to see change, then what you're going to do is you're going to create this work-in situation where I don't have to dedicate an hour of my day, because a lot of people can't. Most people can't. That's the number one reason people don't work out, is because you don't have time.
Right.
But if you can say, you know what, you have 4 minutes. You have a space in 1 minute. So on my website, I have 1 minute workouts.
Yeah.
They're called 1 minute to wellness workouts. And they're all, I have 70 of them. 30% are in my pajamas, getting out of bed. 30% is on an office, because so many of our clients and students have office jobs. So
right.
I have it in a cubicle. And then 30% is anytime, anywhere. So if you can get our students to come to us and work out a couple times a week or 3 times a week. But then if they think about moving throughout the day, every movement matters, and every movement generates a moment to create a memory. And that's what we're in the mind for. So everything is connected. And if we can connect everything, the behavioral change, the mindfulness, the working in, the nutrition aspect, then the workouts are the bonus.
Right.
The workout is not it. It's all that surrounds it, and that is the bonus.
No, I love that a lot. And I think that the idea of a work-in, so making it work with your schedule, is so important. Because, I mean, for me, as I was mentioning to you earlier, like, I'm a new mom. And so for me to take an hour out of my day to go to a gym, but not only that, but also travel time. So say it would take me a 2 hour window to basically travel there, get my workout done, if I'm doing an hour workout, and then travel back home and shower and everything else. I just don't have that capacity.
Your hair is perfect.
This is professionally done. This was not me.
Nothing here is professionally done.
Mine is normally air dry, no makeup. That is usually my jam. But to speak to you, I wanted to make sure I looked presentable.
Well, you look wonderful.
Oh, well, thank you. But to find that kind of time is impossible for me. So for me, what I've done is I've adapted my lifestyle that I do my workouts at home. And I make sure that when I'm doing them, I am working to my absolute maximum capacity. I'm pushing myself to my maximum effort. I throw in a lot of Tabata training. I also do a lot of HIIT training. My workouts generally don't go longer than 22 minutes. That's pretty much like the maximum that I work out every day. Not even every day, about 5 days a week. And now, so for anyone listening though, I mean, because I saw you speak at the IDEO conference, and you were talking all about Tabatas, and I know that Tabata Bootcamp is something that you are so known for. Can you explain a little bit more in depth about what Tabatas are and where they come from, and sort of why they're so amazing? Because I think that that's something that everybody needs to know that doesn't already know that.
So Tabata was originally researched by a man named Yuzumi Tabata in Japan. He was working for the National Fitness Fitness and Sport. And he was approached by some coaches from the National Speed Skating Team with this 2010 timing. And they said, wow, this is really pretty cool. And I'll tell you why it's cool in a second. So he said, yes, he's going to do research. And so they got this group of students to test this on ergonometers. So it's in a research lab on exercise bikes. So you have to be really careful when you're saying I'm doing Tabata, because the original Tabata research was done on ergonomic exercise bikes in a research lab with students from the university. Okay. That is good, but who are we training? We're training the average mom and dad, or Joe and Jane, that maybe want to gain fitness, but they don't want to throw up in a bucket every day.
Yes.
Because what happened was that these people were going 170 to 180% of their VO2 max. Mm-hmm. If you and I did that today, we would feel so sick. We couldn't form a sentence. We would, our eyes would be crossed, we'd be drooling, and we wouldn't want to work out for days.
Really. Right.
So the protocol in the fitness industry, which I've created with Tabata Bootcamp, is the max interval is done once in a class, only once.
Okay.
It's the 4 minutes, 20 seconds on, 10 seconds off, one exercise done as hard as you possibly can. Mm-hmm. Now, I also have progressions and regressions of every exercise, because there are people that come into your class or that want to do Tabata, but they don't want to do it that hard.
Right.
So maybe their fitness level is not such that they can go so hard. They'll feel sick, or maybe someone is trying to lose weight and they shouldn't jump if it's a jump. So jumping is only an option. Regressions and regressions for every exercise, and we really go through all the ins and outs.
Right.
Now, the reason why Tabata is so profound is that it's only 20 seconds. So if I were to say to you, hey, Amanda, go as hard as you can for 60 seconds, you would go hard, but you'd back off a little bit because you knew you had 60 seconds to get the work in.
Definitely.
So you got the same exercise, but you have to get that same amount of energy production in 20 seconds. Well, you'd say, okay, I can do anything for 20 seconds. So your mindset is different. So
right.
Your intensity is going to be harder. Then after that workout of 20 seconds, there's only 10 seconds of rest. So it's a negative recovery. It means there's less rest to the workout. So exponentially, you're working harder every time you do it because you're trying to get the same amount of intensity each time, but your rest is always less. It's like having a baby.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember this from 6 months ago. You're pushing, the contractions happening, and then all of a sudden, you're like, no, I don't want to go anymore. And then, oh, no, and then you stop. And then, no, I really don't want to do this. And then it comes again. And you say, I just need a little more break, please. Oh, no. So that really is, that Tabata is having a baby. That's what it basically is. So,
that's going to be the tagline for this. Tabata is having a baby.
yeah, naturally. And yeah. It's so profound, too, that you don't want to do it every day. You can't do it every day. You also can't do it multiple times in a workout if it's done that way, with one exercise repeated with the same highest intensity you have. Now, you can mix it up. So what we do in Tabata Bootcamp is you say, okay, you've got 8 rounds of this 4 minutes.
Right.
How about if I do 2 rounds of one exercise, 2 rounds of another exercise, come back to the first exercise twice, and then the next exercise. So you can actually do up to 4 exercises in the 4 minutes.
Right.
So it doesn't mean that the intensity is less, but the intensity is different.
Right.
So by having the intensity be different, you can now add more of these into your class, and it's done in a smart way.
And right.
It's also variety. Your body doesn't want to keep doing the same exercise over and over and over again. That's really, it's boring.
It's boring, and your body can plateau. You get used to it, especially if you're doing the same. If you say you were always doing burpees as your Tabata. And every single time you did a Tabata, it was always burpees. Your body will adjust to it eventually. I mean, I don't know about burpees. I don't know if you can ever adjust to them, but.
Well, burpees, I'll tell you about burpees. Burpees are not a good Tabata. I'll tell you why. Because they make you dizzy.
Yeah, I totally
Anything
agree.
That changes your vestibular system, mm-hmm. Up and down, or your inner ear, because it makes you all dizzy, will decrease your intensity.
Yeah.
So we have a checklist for what exercises really are Tabata. And exercise bike, absolutely, number one, because you can get the intensity up right away. You
got right.
Immediate hit, right? Mm-hmm. That's one. Also, you have to have the combination of speed and strength for our program. So it's speed, which is how fast you can go with great form and not losing any integrity, but then also add the strength. So compound movement, using the major muscles, decelerating in the exercise. So we don't do, in our Tabata program, we don't do tuck jumps in the air because the contraction is up in the air. It's not loaded. I want all of the energy in that loaded position. In that
right.
So the deceleration phase, the lowering phase, is the most important phase. So when you're doing Tabata, you want to really say, okay, what exercises am I doing? Are they going to have compound movements and use the major muscles of my body? Mm-hmm. Is it going to boost the deceleration when I'm going to get the energy? And acceleration is fine too, getting the energy, but really focus on that lowering phase. And then also, so you don't get dizzy or no turning. Like a lot of people get really creative, like especially yes. instructors, they think their students are going to be bored. Simple.
Right.
When you're in Tabata, it should be the dumbest, simplest exercise ever.
So what then, for anyone listening, what would be like your top five, like in terms of exercises, what would be your top five that you would say are like the best or the, from like a, I guess from a Tabata protocol standpoint, what would be your top five that you would recommend for someone who has A, never done Tabata before, or someone that maybe is doing it but wants to up the ante a little bit? So what would be sort of that, what would be the protocols that you would suggest?
Okay, so exercises.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so jumping exercises are phenomenal, but mm-hmm. remember, jumping is only an option.
Right.
So you want to have I call it a deceleration marker, where you have something that's on the floor that you touch every time.
Okay.
You don't just say, hey, touch the floor, because that's too low for a lot of people.
Right.
It's also not disruptive enough. It needs to be disruptive in its action, right? So anything like a squat jump or a star jump, or and you can regress all of those exercises also by having, like, if you're doing a star jump, you do lowering phase deceleration, and then just out you go to one side, other side, just tapping your foot, or a jumping jack, and then you're going to star jump. So I always offer three options for my exercises, and I never say beginner, intermediate, advanced. I always use options, because for some people, they're really good at one, but they're not so good at another.
Yeah.
I don't call beginners.
I love that you say that, because, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but we follow the exact same language. We always use levels instead of options. We say level one, level two, level three. Level one just meaning low impact. Level two meaning sort of mid-level, and level three meaning like something that's more high impact. Because I also think it's really important from a mindset standpoint that if you say beginner to someone and they feel as though they're a beginner, it becomes like a negative word for them almost, or they almost put themselves in a box, right? Like, oh, well, I'm just a beginner, so I have to do this, but they really don't. So we actually recommend in our classes that people start out with the level three option.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what happens, because oftentimes we surprise ourselves, and oftentimes even if you do two repetitions or three repetitions at that higher intensity or that higher level, you will surprise yourself, because oftentimes we just want to start with the other one because we think that we have to put ourselves in that sort of level box, like the lower level box. So
Yeah,
that's I love that you say it that way.
So for your Tabatas, that is really important, because mm-hmm. you start not with what you can do, but what you can barely do.
Yes.
And then down as you need to. So say you can do, like, I love, okay, here's another exercise. I'm the creator of gliding. You know those mm-hmm. gliders?
I know. I love your gliders. When I told my husband today, I was like, I'm interviewing Mindy, and not only is she all about Tabata, and I've seen her talk about it, but she also created the gliders. And I was like, this is like mind-blowing. Like, I love them. I totally love them.
Thanks. Yeah. So another exercise I love for Tabata is, it's called a tuck-in push-up. So you mm-hmm. on the gliding discs, you tuck in, and then as you push out, you dive down into a push-up. So it's not in-out push-up. It's in-dive, in-dive. It's really cool. But there are a lot of people that can't do the push-up, or it'll slow them down. So a regression for that would be a mountain climber, right? Mm-hmm. Or just tuck in your knees, or curling your legs underneath, and that's core crazy. But it's also cardio. So Tabata has to be cardio and strength. It has to be the two. It really does. So if it's mm-hmm. just cardio, it's okay, but we really want to help people with their strength. And a lot of people will just gravitate to cardio because it's more fun or it's easier or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But you have to have them do strength as well, especially as they get older. Strength is more important than cardio. They're both important. Don't get me wrong. Don't not hear me right. But strength training is extremely important at the age.
Definitely. And I think, if you're doing strength training in, like, whether it's following a Tabata format or whether it's following any kind of like high intensity intervals or anything like that, if you're doing your strength in, and you're doing it with lower rest periods, you're going to have your cardiovascular system working anyways, right? Because you are, like, I know for me, majority of my workouts are strength based, but my heart rate is always high, because I'm moving quickly, because I have that short window of time to get my workouts completed.
Yeah.
So I've got to move fast. I don't take 1 or 2 minutes in between each exercise to rest. I really just make every minute count and go through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's good. Mm-hmm. Okay, another one will be jump lunges.
Yeah.
Jump lunges would be fantastic. And I also like to look at varying the planes of movement. So if you're doing a squat jump, which is sagittal plane movement, then maybe you're going to do a lunging movement from side to side, frontal. And then maybe you're going to do some kind of a twisting jump. That could be another one that would be fantastic. Or even I created this mountain climber, road runner, people call it different things, with the gliding disc, where I actually take my legs to one side and take the other side.
Oh my gosh.
It's so cool.
It sounds amazing, but really painful at the same time.
But if that's Tabata.
Of course.
Yeah. So you just want, now if you're doing an exercise, so our students love Tabata. They love the 20-10 because anybody can do anything for 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to think about all of your Tabatas being as high intensity. You can think about one or two of them in your workout can be that high intensity. But then you can use other exercises for 20 seconds for variety. So you're not going to create the EPOC and post exercise. That EPOC was created, that afterburn is mm-hmm. created in that one that you do full out, right?
Right.
But after that, you can play around with doing 2 to 4 exercises a mix. You're going to still get intense workout, but it's not going to be that high EPOC producing Tabata that you're going to get.
Right. And with Tabata training, I know one of the biggest things about it is that, you know, because a lot of people are misguided with the idea that, like, in their brain, they think they have to do the hour workout. And so they think when they see the 1 minute workouts that you offer on your website or the 4 minute Tabata protocol, like, they think, well, how can that be effective? So can you explain to our listeners how the afterburn works and how to sort of achieve that sort of like optimal afterburn for your mm-hmm. workouts?
Well, I will first, if you're going to build muscle, right, you need to break down the muscle. So if you're going to grab a heavy weight and you're going to, like, do a bicep curl, 8 to 12 repetitions. You can't do any more. Your muscle fibers have actually torn. So then you need time to recover for them to come back together again. Mm-hmm. Well, the same will happen for the aerobic and anaerobic energy system. When you go up into the anaerobic energy system, you are disrupting the whole system, and you are actually essentially breaking it down. You've got lactate waste in there. And afterwards, in post-exercise, you have to then recover in order to build it back up on it, and everything gets more robust. So what they found was in the Tabata protocol is that they were just trying to get their athletes to be more competitive when they race, right? Yeah. So their VO2 max or lactate threshold area right here, it was going to be more robust if I go higher and disrupt the system, break it down, right?
Right.
It's like you go into the forest and you have a forest fire. Well, from the forest fire, so much more growth is, it comes from that disruption.
Right.
Same thing with your aerobic and anaerobic energy system. Because you've disrupted the water, now everything's got to come back in and rebuild itself stronger. So that's what happens. Now, the EPOC and post, the excess post exercise oxygen consumption, what happens is that it's highest right after the workout is over, and then it dives down pretty quick. So you're still going to see, if you work out very hard, and I'm saying, well above your VO2 max, then you are going to be seeing some good EPOC in the first couple hours, and then a little bit after that, but it dives down pretty quick. So we say you still see some in the 24-hour and post, because we actually did a five-day research study. Mm-hmm. Where we took research participants, we sequestered them in a hotel so they couldn't leave, they couldn't work out, they couldn't eat foods that we didn't give them. We had to give them very benign foods, so like no spicy food, no conjugal visits, because they had a little something. And anyway, I came in the third day and I worked out with each one of them individually. Mm-hmm. And so what we saw is that their calorie burn after their EPOC was very significant in the first couple hours afterwards. It dove down quickly, as I said, but then it still was something in 24 hours.
Cool.
Not 48, but in 24.
Yeah.
So cool. It was about 60 calories during the workout, and then about 240 calories additional they burned after the workout was over.
That's impressive.
It's very impressive.
Yeah.
That was the same as the Tabata research. The thing is, when I created Tabata Bootcamp, I didn't want to go on that research because I wasn't working on ergonometers in a research lab. I wasn't working out just with students. I wasn't going 170 to 180% of my VO2 max. We weren't, because that would make people sick.
Yeah.
Right? I wanted to see if the exercises that we did in our program mattered and worked. Mm-hmm. And absolutely yes. And the muscle was much better too.
Yeah.
That acceleration phase of the jump.
Definitely. And so what would you say to someone who has never tried Tabata training and they're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to try this. It sounds great. But I'm also still really stuck on the idea that I need to go and do long, like list training, like long steady state cardio.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What would you say to someone who has that sort of mindset, like to maybe make that shift, or would you encourage that to sort of maintain both?
So what I would say is you're right. You are absolutely right, because you need both. You need steady state a couple days a week. I mean, go out for a nice long run or take your dog out for a walk or whatever you do. 2 days a week should be a longer steady state exercise, because if we don't use the aerobic energy system, we're going to lose that too. So I found that out when I found Tabata. I love Tabata, and all I did was Tabata. So guess what suffered? My longer HIIT training, my steady state training, I couldn't do it anymore. So we really need variety. So a couple days a week steady state training, a good Zumba class. Ah, fantastic. Anything like that. I know that. Then 3 days a week HIIT training. 3 days a week.
So max 3 days a week. It would be sort of your recommendation.
Yeah. But some people can take a little bit more. Some people can take a little bit less. When I do really hard HIIT, when I do Tabata,
Yeah.
There are some weeks that I will hit it really, really, really hard. I won't hit it again that week.
Right.
I will just back off, and that's okay too. So my week is really, I don't work out anymore. I just work in because I travel every weekend on an airplane to go to this conference or that conference. And when I'm home, which is right now, I live at the beach. So I'm going, after I'm done with work today, I'm going to go out and I'm going to run on the beach. And I'm not doing it for weight loss. I'm doing it for heart health and lung health and just clearing my mind and oxygenating the blood. So I'm more creative. As I come back from a run and look at my husband and say, don't talk to me. I've got 16 things I got to work on right now.
So it's funny how that works.
So I would say it really depends on the person. If you love that shorter workout, that really hard, intense workout, as you said, you do it 5 days a week, that's totally fine. Just know that your intensity is a little bit less if you're doing it consecutive days.
Because right.
Your intensity is so hard one day, you have to back off the next day. Because more, what we say in Tabata Boot Camp is, more is not better, better is better.
Right.
And the more you do, the less you do sometimes when it comes to HIIT training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I agree. I can see the difference. I think if you really pay attention to your body when you're actually doing the training, you can see the difference between some days. Like one day you will have all this energy, and then if you try to do, I change my workouts every day, so it's not the same, but it's still, I can notice the difference that by the end of the week, I am a little bit slower. I am a little bit going to a little bit lighter of movements and everything, but I'm okay with that because it's literally the only thing that fits in my schedule currently.
Yeah.
And that's so that's fine. Okay. But I do agree with you about the list training as well. And I see that as more of about heart health because heart disease runs in my family. And so for me, it's a preventative measure. It's something that if I can do that one extra thing to help prevent it, I will do it. And
heart disease is preventable through diet.
Of course. No, of course. Definitely diet. But I also do it for like to strengthen my heart and to keep my blood oxygenated and flowing and everything else. So I do follow all the different sort of pieces of the puzzle. And then what would be sort of like your final, I guess, to wrap this up, like what would you suggest to someone, like I said, who has never done any kind of maybe HIIT training or Tabata training? How would you suggest they get started? Like what would you, if they're like, okay, I kind of get it, I want to do it, I want to check it out, what do I do? And if there's someone who is going to a gym or at home.
Mm-hmm. So I have so many references on my YouTube channel. So you just look at Mindy Milray and you will see so many free Tabata workouts on there. It's not even funny. Also, I have lots of DVDs and downloads and all that stuff. If you are just starting in a gym, try to find a Tabata Boot Camp class because those people that learn Tabata Boot Camp, they learn the science and the research and the progressions and the regressions. When you're going to a HIIT class, you have to make sure that the instructor shows three options for every exercise.
Agreed.
And one of those options has no jumping.
Yeah.
Because if they're just saying, go, then they might not be the teacher for you or the instructor. When you are doing Tabata, you don't want a drill sergeant. You really want someone that listens to you and listens to why you're there. Right. So if you're saying, you know what, I really want to get in really good shape and I want to try this Tabata out, well then you need someone that's gonna really motivate you. But maybe you're going in just to have a great time and you don't want someone that's screaming and yelling at you. So and that looks at what your needs are. So those progressions and regressions are first and foremost the most important piece because that's gonna keep you well and injury free.
Yes.
You don't want to go in, kill yourself, and then you're on the couch injured for the next couple weeks.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, of course. I mean, especially if you're someone who is just starting out, like the last thing you want to do is all of a sudden now be dealing with an injury because what is the one thing that is going to off-put you from continuing is going to be like, oh, I injured myself. This isn't for me. Right. And so I think I agree with you. You have to really take care of your body. You have to be mindful of it. And whoever you are looking to if you're starting a class or you're hiring a trainer, make sure that they do really understand your needs. Because if you get in with someone who isn't the right fit for you, it could put you into a position where maybe you do get injured. So I agree 100%.
And first and foremost, it is food.
Yes. First and foremost, food. I think we need to do a separate interview all about the food, and maybe even have Bruce join us as well.
he would love to. He's so great. Now, are you, Amanda, you're in Canada, yes?
I am, yes.
So after the CanFit Pro Conference, I think it's September 19th, you're doing a one-day wellness program in Mississauga.
Fantastic.
If you use the word Canada on our website when you sign up, you actually get $50 discount.
Fantastic. Well, I will be there. I will see you there in person. I might have to take breaks to go and feed my daughter, but I will be there. And thank you for sharing that code. We'll make sure that we also post it in the blog post as well as all of our social media. And thank you so much, Mindy, for your time today. I really appreciate it. I love your insight into everything. We will definitely have to chat again. And I won't keep you so that you can head over to the beach now.
Yes. Thank you so much, Amanda.
No, it's my pleasure. I'll talk to you soon. Have a great day.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Fit Chicks Chat Podcast. Want more healthy love? Visit www.fitchicks.com for amazing resources, free workouts, recipes, tips, and so much more to help you live your healthiest and fiercest life, inside and out.